This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour as another trading week is underway. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. I want to tell you later on in the broadcast, Stock Picker Monday. We'll have an investing pro, Chuck Carlson, join us with some advice. Also, Greg Hines is on tap from Crane's Chicago Business, talking about some of the looting going on in the city and whether or not it's outside that are behind it. Right now, the busy week ahead includes the government jobs report and those manufacturing numbers. Diane Swonk is here. She is chief economist at Grant Thornton in Chicago. Diane, give us a little thumbnail of the manufacturing numbers and whether they're good or bad.
Well, they're not as bad as they were last month. The manufacturing sector is still contracting and shedding jobs. Exports and imports still remain extremely weak, which is because we're seeing a very slow reopen globally. But the manufacturing sector, it did show an improvement over the low numbers of March. And part of that's because the manufacturing sector are some of the first that can actually reopen with social distancing. They're able to set up staggered shifts, set up more spacing between people, use a lot of personal protective equipment to keep people safe, and they've already have some experience doing this in some of the worst hot zones in the world, in both Wuhan and Lombardy, Italy. So the manufacturing sector is the first sector to be the one that sort of ramps back up. It won't be at full capacity for some time now because there's still going to be very weak demand, and that's the sort of the crux of the problem is even as we reopen, we'll come off these very low levels on a percentage change basis that will look good. In the reality, we're still seeing an extraordinary amount of pain in the U.S. economy, with much of the economy operating well below its previous peak, even as we go through the end of the summer.
And we expect to see more of that pain when we get the jobs report later in the week.
Exactly. The jobs report, we're expecting another 8 million job losses in the month of May, and downward revisions to the 20.5 million job losses that we saw in the month of April. Total cumulative job losses from late February into mid-May are expected to top 30 million when all is said and done. The unemployment rate should easily cross 20%, and that's still an understatement of what the actual unemployment rate is, because many people with children at home, particularly low-wage households, cannot actually participate in the labor force because they're taking and caring for their children. And that's going to be one of the biggest hurdles to bringing people back to work as well. Even as the jobs open up, many people don't have a place to put their children if they're not in school.
Talk about the challenge for an economist to try to predict where things are headed, given the fact that you had the pandemic, that is still ongoing. Some businesses were just opening up. Now you have all of this unrest around the nation. We just don't know financially, economically, what the next several months are going to bring.
Exactly. And unfortunately, we do know that riots and looting, you know, from the 1960s and the 1990s, we know the evidence from those shows lasting effects, particularly in the communities. Hardest hit minority businesses are particularly hard hit, and those small businesses that were already, you know, hanging under a shoestring will likely close for good. Also, retailers, some will rebuild with insurance and repairs, but many retailers were already scaling back and doing store closures. And so this will only accelerate that process in some places, and also add to the fear of going to public places and the added impact of what does it do in terms of another round of COVID infections out there. That could also be another setback for the economy. Even if we don't go into the extreme lockdowns again, we know people's behavior when the contagion is so high is to actually stay away from public places, and that's something that could set us further back. So as hard as it is, it's easy to tell that unequivocally the devastation we've just seen over the course of the weekend will add insult to injury to recovery that was already city fairly fragile at best.
Thanks so much. Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton here in Chicago. Just ahead, a Chicago small business already impacted by the COVID crisis, taking another hit from vandalism and looting. Small businesses in Chicago and the suburbs were already dealing with coronavirus fallout. Now they're having to deal with the impact of looting and vandalism. We're joined by one of them, Michael Kugelis, co-founder and CEO of Big City Optical, locations throughout Chicago. They're a sponsor here on News Radio. Mike, it's good to have you with us. I guess kind of just give us a little idea of what's been going on at some of your locations.
Hi, Cisco. Glad to join and appreciate the invitation. You know, it's been it's certainly been a difficult 60 days between the COVID-19 crisis and, you know, the recent civil unrest and everything that kind of was triggered by things taking place in Minnesota. But it's been our whole team has had to be really quick on their feet to just hold it together, because I'd say everything right now is a priority versus just one item where we thought we were just past COVID-19, and we're now working through a bunch of other things as a result of some of the recent damage.
Talk about COVID. What was that like for your business? Obviously, a lot of businesses just struggling to hang on.
You know, I think it was, I believe it was a gut check for our business to really determine, how much can we be there for our neighbors that need care during a time of uncertainty? And so we made the decision early on to be one of those essential workers that would be there for emergency eye care. And, you know, I think that we made a lot of friends, you know, as a result of that, because a number of our peer group closed up because I think it just felt unsafe. And we, you know, I think that we really looked at how could we operate in a safe manner? And we've got some great employees that wanted to stay on and continue to provide service for clients. And so I'd say overall, we're very happy with what the outcome was. And certainly now that COVID is starting, the restrictions are starting to lighten, I think that we are incredibly prepared to help clients as they start to choose where they want to go next.
Talk about any damage at any of your locations over the last 72 hours and what that will have as far as an impact on getting things back to normal.
Yeah, so a couple of our stores were tagged, which the good news is that just means some spray paint that can be cleaned off. We had one store in the Pilsen neighborhood that got broken into and looted. So that was disappointing. And certainly, we were driving around all the stores yesterday, you know, and our last store to stop by was Pilsen. And sure enough, a Facebook post is ultimately what advised us that we had been broken into. So we rushed over there. And the good news is the police were great. They left a report. They were very, you know, we called them. They answered a bunch of questions for us, even though I'm sure they were incredibly busy. And now we just are working on pulling the pieces together and making sure that, you know, we can reopen tomorrow and be ready for clients that have already booked appointments with us.
Thanks so much for being with us. That is Michael Kugelis, co-founder and CEO of Big City Optical, locations throughout Chicago among the small businesses being impacted not only by coronavirus, but now by all of the unrest, the looting, rioting that has gone on over the last 72 hours or so here in Chicago. Just ahead, we'll talk with Greg Hines of Crane's Chicago Business about the suspicion the looting and vandalism is actually part of an organized effort.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Mayor Lightfoot believes organized groups may be taking advantage of generally peaceful protests over the death of George Floyd in order to create chaos and loot stores. Greg Hines is joining us, columnist at Crane's Chicago Business. Greg, thanks for being with us. What are you hearing?
Well, the mayor has not yet provided details, but Tom Dart, the Cook County Sheriff, said the same thing this morning. Both of them have reported, Alderman Riley downtown has reported, that that there have been instances in which not just a bunch of angry folks, somebody chucks a rock at a window, but a shopping store that maybe has a liquor store and a jewelry store in it, four SUVs roll up in a caravan, 15 guys pop out, they have a tool to to break the windows right away. They all ran in, emptied the things out, put it in boxes in the driveway, and they're gone in 10 minutes. That's what they're talking about. Now, whether that's local gangs, whether that's the rumored Antifa or right supremacists, nobody seems to know yet. But the sheriff says and the mayor says that they've asked the FBI and the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms to investigate. So we'll see what they come up with.
Yeah, you've seen people, I've seen the video online. I mean, U-Haul trucks pulling up at a strip mall, and they're able to be there a while and just fill the thing up.
Yeah, that is, you know, the unfortunate part of that is that the protests and the racial injustice and the police abuse that kicked all this off are real, and we need to deal with them. But when this kind of nonsense happens, it hijacks the message, it sends out the wrong word, and it's just plain wrong. I mean, this is criminal activity, and it should not occur.
Seeing a lot of businesses on the south and west sides basically saying, hey, we were struggling already, a lot of disinvestment in our communities, and now this, we have to start from scratch.
Yeah, Alderman Beal from the 9th Ward has been, who doesn't get along very well with Mayor Lightfoot, he's been saying today, along with a couple of colleagues, that we need a lot more police presence and we need National Guard on the south side because on the whole, how did he put it, between the South Loop and Indiana border, there's only one store left where you can buy food, a Walmart that happens to be in his ward. I don't know if that's completely true or not, but clearly, This devastation of little neighborhood stores that are, you know, run by families and, you know, black entrepreneurs, Latino entrepreneurs, people put their life in it, it's gone. Maybe they have insurance, maybe they don't. That's just awful. This doesn't help anybody.
Greg Hines, Crane's Chicago Business. Always good to have you on with us. Thank you, Greg. Still ahead, nationwide protests over the death of George Floyd are raising concerns among health officials. Remember that COVID pandemic? They're afraid that this is just going to spread the virus far and wide.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Mayor Lightfoot deals with questions about police protection in various city neighborhoods.
This is Bernie Tafoya in Aurora, where 14 people were arrested during a night of vandalism and looting following a peaceful demonstration.
Health leaders sound a warning over the potential spread of COVID-19 during street protests. We'll have a couple of investing suggestions on the Noon Business Hour from our Monday stock picker, Wall Street, the Dow is up 93, NASDAQ is up 77, and the S&P is up 15 points. Oil is down a little less than 1%. Clouds in Chicagoland with occasional sunshine, heading to a high of 75 degrees. Right now, it's 66 degrees. Mayor Lightfoot is firing back at some aldermen who suggested she cared more about protecting downtown businesses from looting over the weekend than those in other city communities.
There is no way that we would ever let any neighborhood receive more resources and protection than any others, ever. And that certainly didn't happen over the course of the weekend. What we saw last night is completely heart-wrenching to me personally, and I know to many of you who I have spoken to and heard from.
The mayor adds there will be street closures in some hot spots in certain city neighborhoods. There was looting and vandalism in suburbs from north to south and west as well last night, including Aurora, which suffered damage in its downtown area and other parts of the city.
Crews were out early, sweeping up glass from smashed doors and windows at the First Midwest Bank. Before Aurora resident Jorge Nino went to work, he did some cleanup work on his own along Broadway in the city he loves. Downtown resident Sarah Staub surveyed all the busted glass and graffiti spray painted on walls.
I think it's horrible. I think that it has nothing to do with Mr. Floyd's death at all at this point.
Aurora police say that after a peaceful demonstration, violence and looting erupted. Three police cars were destroyed by fire and police were shot at least twice. One officer was injured by a rock or bottle thrown at police. More than a dozen people were arrested. In Aurora, Bernie Tafoya, News Radio, 105.9 FM.
If you're among the many still working remotely, you can just ask your smart speaker to play WBBM News Radio for all the latest developments. WBBM News Time, 12:33.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Stocks are trading slightly higher today. Let's see what's going on. Art Hogan is here, Chief Market Strategist at National Securities based in New York. Art, it's always good to have you on the program. What do you see as you're looking around Wall Street today?
No, it's interesting, Cisco. We came in from a pretty tumultuous weekend with a lot of protest and racial issues. At the same time, on Friday, we had the president talk about how things are going with the U.S.-China relationship. So both of those will certainly be seen as near-term headwinds, right? So we don't know how long the racial divide and the protests last, but certainly causing some economic damage with companies like Amazon and Target closing stores and closing down some business for a period of time. And certainly as we head into a new week and a new month, you know, our latest concern coalesces more around U.S.-China tensions and how far we'll take those tensions in terms of retaliation. But it's certainly not a positive. And all of this comes on the heels of what was a pretty spectacular May with the S&P and the Dow up about 7% and the NASDAQ up about 10%, with smaller caps doing even better. So I think we've come in at a place where valuations are getting a bit rich, and certainly some new headwinds are introduced that the investors will have to calibrate. And so I think we're going to tiptoe through this week pretty carefully.
So what does an investor do given increased uncertainty? As you're mentioning, we're sort of coming out of COVID, or at least the thick of it, and now we have a lot of unrest.
Yeah, three things to think about. First and foremost, if you're a long-term investor, you don't want to change your game plan with the headlines in the news. And I think that's always true and has been true forever. I think the second thing to think about is if you are over-invested in the stay-at-home basket, which is, you know, largely those names that have done very, very well since the March 23rd low, and under-invested in any of the cyclical names, meaning some of the names that haven't done well at all, early cycle industrials, financials, energy, et cetera, you might want to think about changing your portfolio as you head into the summertime a little bit. The momentum technology names that have done very well, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, et cetera, have gotten a bit stretched and are starting to get replaced by some of those cyclical names. So we've seen that rotation starting 2 or 3 weeks ago. We've certainly seen outperformance of the economically sensitive sectors like the semiconductors and the transports. So I would say that's not a trend that's going to last for a couple of weeks. I think it's going to last for a couple of quarters, and those laggards have a lot of ground to make up. The third thing is if you're invested in some of the dividend darlings, they've gotten very expensive over the last couple of months. So be careful of things like Staples that are throwing off a dividend that's less than 3% and trading at a multiple that's 20 times when they tend to trade at 12 or 13 times. So I would say just be careful of some of the dividend darlings. Watch that rotation into the cyclicals, and certainly don't change your game plan because of headlines.
Good insight, as always. Thanks so much. Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist at National Securities. Up next, weekend protests raising fears of a spike in COVID cases.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Weekend protests over the killing of George Floyd by police are sounding alarms about the danger of crowds in the viral pandemic. We're joined by Michelle Cortez, a health reporter at Bloomberg News based in Minneapolis. I know, Michelle, here in Chicago, we had our local health officials talking about that, but it's not just here, it's around the country. People are afraid, hey, in the midst of a pandemic, this is going to spread now.
Exactly. When you are having protests going on, you're having thousands and thousands of people gathering, often in cramped spaces, crowding together to try to listen to protesters or watch dancing, sing chants, that sort of thing. You cannot really keep 6 feet of distance between yourself and other people. And if coronavirus is in that crowd, there is a risk that it can go from one person to the next.
Yeah, you have many of the people who are in those crowds are young, and conceivably at some point they'll be going home to parents or older siblings, relatives, and that's when it can get extremely dangerous.
Right. Well, at this point, it's just a matter of keeping the virus alive, right? There was some hope that with the summer months that we will have more general distancing, windows are open, the humidity in the air makes it heavier air, it makes it more difficult for droplets to move through the air. And because it's more difficult, we would have less circulation, and that would lower the risk to everybody broadly. But once you bring people in close contact to each other, then you can start seeing it pass from place to place. Certainly, we've seen in a lot of these protests, people are wearing masks. And we've seen in other places, there's been large gatherings, pool parties, and that kind of stuff, where there haven't been masks. So it'll be interesting to see how these numbers play out as the days come to see if masks really are helpful, because in some places we're seeing them.
We have CEOs and business leaders, not all of them, obviously, but many of them voicing support for what's going on for the demonstrators.
Exactly. It's a very interesting time, I think, in American history that corporate leaders are speaking up now. We've seen this before when it comes to things like marriage equality, and the industries really need to have their workers feel supported and move forward in a more equitable basis. We've seen in study after study, actually, that a more diverse leadership team leads to better results. So I think that some progress is being made. Perhaps we did see, again, like with marriage equality, that the corporate involvement made a difference. Now we're seeing people step in. Many of them are saying the looting and the rioting is doing harm to the movement, but they are saying that we need to see more justice in America.
Thanks so much, Michelle Cortez, a health reporter at Bloomberg News.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday here on the Noon Business Hour. Chuck Carlson is joining us, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter. He's the author of Winning with the Dow's Losers. Chuck, it's always good to have you on the show. What's your first pick?
The first pick is Applied Materials. The symbol is AMAT. The stock trades for around $55 per share. Applied Materials is one of the leading semiconductor equipment manufacturers in the world. And, you know, with technology continuing to encroach on virtually every aspect of our lives, the semiconductor sector continues to be a pretty attractive area for the long term, and Applied Materials is a nice way to play that. The company has beaten earnings estimates in each of the last four quarters. I'm looking for double-digit earnings and revenue growth this year and probably next year, and that's something that you're not going to be able to say about a lot of companies. The dividend yield is about 1.6%, so you do get a little cash flow by owning the stock. And then finally, you know, for investors that are still searching for technology stocks that still seem to offer pretty good value, I think Applied Materials fits that. Its stock, as I mentioned, is trading at about $55 a share, but it's still down from its 52-week high of $69 a share. So I still think there's ample upside in the stock. That's Applied Materials, symbol AMAT.
Okay, Applied Materials. What's your second pick?
Second pick is a little out of the box for our firm. We have never been big gold enthusiasts, but having said that, this environment probably is not such a bad one to add a bit of gold to a diversified portfolio and give you a little bit of a hedge during kind of the uncertain times that we're seeing, not just in the U.S., but throughout the world, especially from the monetary standpoint where we're seeing just, you know, tremendous amounts of stimulus being hurled into the economy. And will that eventually, you know, boost inflation at some point? So I think, you know, if you're looking for gold to add a little bit of gold to a portfolio, a gold stock that we like quite a bit is Kirkland Lake Gold. The symbol is KL. The stock trades for about $40 per share. It's a Canadian-based company. The big problem that I typically have with gold companies is just the fundamentals aren't really all that attractive. That's not the case with Kirkland. It's a strong story, strong operating story here. You get a dividend yield of 1.3%, so you do get some cash flow. And finally, you get a stock that's down about 20% from its 52-week high of $51 a share. So that's Kirkland Lake Gold, symbol is KL, and my firm and our clients own both of these stocks.
Thanks so much, Chuck Carlson. Kirkland Lake Gold, KL, and Applied Materials, AMAT. That's Stock Picker Monday. If you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and just skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function. It works both online and on the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.